Thank you. Our Lord, please bless thy word to the hearts of every soul that has come here tonight. Keep us under the blood of Christ, safe from all the powers of darkness. And come thyself, rebuke Satan away by the risen, resurrected power of Christ and in the name of Jesus Christ. Mercifully visit us, every heart. In Jesus the Christ's sacred name, we ask in unswerving faith of thee, our Father in heaven. Amen. Tonight I have to say thank you to all of you that have come. A lot of you said this morning, there were those that said, well, we have a long way to travel, we can't come anymore. But we had some good attendances, and I'm grateful God encouraged Timothy and Nikki and good Brandon and everyone else. God really was good to give us a goodly amount of people. I think I chased quite a lot away, though. After one or two sermons, they didn't come back. You know? Same on them. But we'll forgive them. Next year, it's amazing, when the dust settles, they come back. And they're back with a vengeance. So we just bless God they were here for what God wanted them to hear. Now I thank also this church, this assembly, for their kindness. I don't think Jenny's in the meeting. I think she's out there with the children's room, in the children's room. But both of us, I know, are very grateful to God for every kindness shown to us here. Thank you. That as an assembly, I think it was Don Corvell who coordinates the whole tour of 3 months, 3.5 months this time, with all these extra meetings before. Don Corvell said if it wasn't for this little group of godly people in Rhinelander, we wouldn't make it, getting you, Jenny, Roy, their children here, across the whole world every year. There's something about this assembly that God has put in your hearts to make it possible for us as a family. And I thank you from my heart for that. Of course, there were each church where I preach has to pay, divided up of all the churches for me, and going from one state to the other. But Jenny and Roy, Jerusalem, and a lot to do with us as a family has been carried by this assembly. Now I know that is a great sacrifice, and so I'm saying it very carefully. I am so grateful for your goodness and your sacrifice and your love for us that we are so undeserving of, and we are so humbled by that there is a group of people like this. And may God wonderfully bless you for what you are. For Brandon, for the home he gives us and vacates and goes and sleeps at Nikki, at Timothy and Nikki. He's willing to go away this time for about a week and a few days just to leave his home spotless. I believe from what I can gather from your mommy, among others, that that means an army went before we arrived. But as you walk in, it's spotless and it's a lovely home, and I'm grateful God has honored Brandon and his hard work and faith to have acquired such a lovely home and now a lovely piece of land beside it. It really is a lovely home, and we are so happy there and so grateful for the privilege, Brandon, that you give us. Now, Brandon, it seems, I think it was Nikki who was telling us, that he sits with a little list, prayerfully, working out all that he wants to get for Jenny and me. And as we walk in, over the years, it's something we brace ourselves to actually look at and handle. The first couple of times, it was almost impossible to survive handling it. But Brandon makes such sacrifices with his love and goodness and dedication and devotion to God in doing this. There is just every the nuts you can think of in the entire world. Walnuts, pecan nuts, every nut you can think of is on those tables. Chocolate covered nuts. Where do you begin? But the whole table is like a mountain. Now you have to be a billionaire in South Africa to have afford one of those packets. So we don't ever see it. But we are so grateful once a year we come here. Brother, I make up for all the years. And by the love and care of Brandon, of what he puts there, and the chocolates. Oh my, chocolates and chocolates and this chocolate and that chocolate. Oh, chocolate-covered raisins, chocolate-covered cranberries, chocolate-covered peanuts, chocolate, oh, anyway, there's all these, and you open the fridge and there's one thing after the other, full of shallots and, oh my, meat, chicken, all ready, and there's fruit and milk and bottles of water, because I get sick drinking out of the tap if I changed every tap so I get spring water. Bottles upon bottles upon bottles. Well, Brandon, thank you. I am very grateful. And the money you put on the table when we arrive, thank you. Only God knows how grateful I am. And Jenny, she has a little weep every year. I just leave her alone when we walk into that house. I also want to thank good Timothy and Nikki for their kindness. I do respect this young man very, very much. And I have looked at what he's accomplished as a young person, and I realize, having been in the business world before I went into God's service also, and my daddy being, I know the sacrifice of life to accomplish what he has accomplished by the grace of God in that wonderful building he has built, and the stock alone, what it must be to have acquired. And very few businesses are able to. Now that was a wonderful achievement for a young man that I know did it by the grace of God, with every bit of strength, mentally, emotionally, and physically that is in a human, to have acquired that. I know that. And I respect him deeply as I walk through there. And the kindness he and his good wife have shown to me and Jenny. Every year I know they would not welcome this. But they take us to some place or Coles or something where we get, he said, every need you have in this building, you know, we just look at him in disbelief the first time. What is this man saying to us? What more do you need? You need this. Yes, my suitcase is bursting before each tour. It just breaks open. And you wonder what fell out, because they, every time we go to the next town, it's 2-3 flights, you know, and they don't exactly handle with care. So after all over South Africa, England and other places we go, and then America, 3 months of every fourth day, couple of flights. So I looked at a suitcase there the other night, and Timothy got me the best suitcase, I think, in the entire building, probably in the entire world. I have it at home, and I cannot tell you how I've stood there just thanking God for that suitcase, because it is an amazing thing that not everybody in the world have, and a suit, because sometimes my suits fall apart. I have one suit, two pairs of pants, casual pants, one pair of shoes. I won't tell you how many, but underclothing, etc. But there you are. And that's my wardrobe. And, well, he takes me to look at the suits and everything. And then Jenny, even a watch this time, because I lost my watch. Anyway, I bought a 10 rand, it's about $2. Watch, and it says 1 year's guarantee, and the man said, I guarantee you in 1 year on the date it will just open up, the springs will come out, the little white flag, it will say time's up, buy another one. Anyway, Timothy bought me one of the loveliest watches in the entire world, and I just looked at it and I, oh God, what am I doing taking this? I am so grateful. They are so kind to us, and I am very, very grateful. Now I know that they're uncomfortable, and so is Brendan, but I just wanted to share that with you tonight and to honor them and thank God for them from my heart. And everyone who is kind to us in this building, I don't know how to name each person. I know Jason helps my son Roy in a remarkable way. And I don't want to embarrass others standing at the back with his little baby in his arms. Aaron is a missionary in our mission that stays alive through Aaron. Now, brother, I mean that. He stays alive through that good man. Thank you. I know you didn't know, we know, but he's wept telling us about you, brother. So from this little church, Harmony, Melody, everyone that has sent to us, thank you. Thank you from my heart. I said to the Lord when my boss, the owner of one of the biggest companies in the world, called me in and said, how can you leave this company? I am telling you not to, and you've listened to me up to now, and like, don't you dare go off and say you're going to be a preacher. I just looked at him. How are you going to live? You're going to start begging. You're going not into the pulpit, you're going into a missionary society. Do you know how they struggle? Anyway, how are you even going to get to this Bible college that you say you have to go to? Is it free? I looked, I thought, I don't know. Turned out there were all sorts of questions. How are you going to be provided for all the costs? And I looked at all the costs of the college fees and the personal finance. And I got on my knees with the application forms to this Bible school that God told me clearly to go. And I said, God, what am I going to do? And I didn't know it, but my Bible was open in Matthew 6. And as I said, what am I going to do? I just looked down, take no thought for your life. I just read through. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they. And yet I say unto you that even your father, not Solomon in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. Therefore take no thought. It's anxious thought, I learned later. I said, okay. I cannot believe that you would mock a man and let me read that when I've prayed this. How are you going to provide all that's needed? Well, I wrote in my application forms, God will provide. There you are. I didn't know how. I didn't know whether the money was going to fall out of heaven. I think at times I actually looked up thinking it would. But God was so faithful. God was so faithful. You cannot believe the stories. And I think I preached one sermon on some of those events of how God honestly reached out and showed me as I had need here, child, in the most amazing circumstances. I just looked in stunned silence as God provided and provided. Now, because I've touched on this thank yous to good people, I'm going to do something that's going to shock you tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon that I have prepared, because when I get home in Africa, at the end of this tour, I have to speak to a very large conference of preachers from across much of Africa who are living by faith. And I know that, most of them. And I know many of them have to get in their faces crying out to God to survive. I know that. So I have worked on a sermon, and I am going to use you as guinea pigs. And no, that just wasn't the right introduction. I am going to preach a sermon that was meant totally for missionaries and those who live totally by faith, cast on grace, never to ask ever anyone anything, ever to cry out from a pulpit, not once, Keith. I have need. And then send the box and say, dig deep. I can't do that. And so, I start with this terrible question. Because I've learned something. Everyone's living by faith in this world. Not just preachers today. The rich say to me, there's only one difference between me and you. I have more to lose in one moment. And to cling to God to help me to survive in these terrible days. Well, here's the question. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Psalm 78, verse 19. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Numbers 21 verse 5 records that tragic moment when the people spake against God and against Moses and cried, wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, neither any water. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? But the Bible goes on to answer that staggering question in Nehemiah 9:21. Yes, yea, 40 years. 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Isn't that wonderful? They lacked nothing. Not one thing. Not one thing hath God hath failed. Of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you, all are come to pass unto you. Not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua 23 verse 14. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart. Psalm 78 verse 72. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. Genesis 48 verse 15. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40 verse 11. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Psalm 23 verse 1. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Matthew 6, verse 26. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat, their food in due season. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Psalm 104 verse 27. The eyes of all wait upon thee, And thou givest them their meat, that's food, in due season. Psalm 145, verse 15, thou openest thine hand, and they are filled with good. Psalm 104, verse 28, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, verse 25, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 34, verse 10, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his children, begging bread. Psalm 37, verse 25. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, verse 8. He shall not be careful. That's fearful. In the year of drought. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to keep them alive in famine. Psalm 33, verse 18. 1 Kings 17, verse 2. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of that brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Then the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee now to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills are mine. Psalm 50, verse 10. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. 1 Kings 17, verse 2. All the silver is mine. The gold is mine. Haggai 2, verse 8. Therefore take no thought. It's anxious thought. I found out the literal Greek, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32. I would have you without carefulness. That is concern. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32. Therefore be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about these things. Philippians 4, verse 6. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? There is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Hebrews 11, verse 11. Doth his promise fail? Psalm 77, verse 8. And Abraham staggered not at the promise. Oh God, through unbelief. Romans 4 verse 20. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14 verse 23. Be not faithless, but believing. John 20 verse 27. For without faith it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 verse 6. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Matthew 21 verse 22. All things are possible to him that believeth. Matthew 9 verse 23. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. If ye have faith and doubt not. Matthew 21 verse 21. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask. Ephesians 3 verse 20. But let him ask in faith. James 1 verse 26, the prayer of faith. James 5 verse 15, in full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10 verse 22, faith in his faithfulness. Faith in his faithfulness. Lamentations 3 verse 23, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Luke 17 verse 5. Help thou mine unbelief. Mark 9 verse 24. Prayer is the key to heaven. But faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken. But prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. Have faith when you speak to the master. That's all he asks of you. For prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 14, Matthew 10 verse 7, as ye go to preach, provide not neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse. Verse 10, for the workman is worthy of his meat, of his food, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5 17, for my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4 verse 19. Oh, how many of us, on many occasions, from day one as a missionary, we were sent off to go to seek opportunity across Africa, to preach. With nothing. Our district superintendent gave us a tank full of petrol, that's all he could afford, and not one penny. Only faith. To be cast upon grace. But that was a vital lesson for us to learn. For when you're thrown into the deep end, missionary and preacher, and you, that's when you learn to swim fast to survive. But once God has proven himself faithful, once God has proven himself, just once, faithful, if we ever begin to become anxious and fearful and doubt, again, he cries out to our hearts through this book, the words he cried to his doubting disciples in Matthew 16, verse 9. Do ye not yet remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000? How many baskets he took up? Neither the 7 loaves, 4,000. How many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand? For they considered not, they forgot the miracles of the 10 loaves. For their heart was still hardened. How is it possible that you forgot how I provided for you, child? So soon. He asks the same question through this book to every missionary. Lamentations 3 verse 21. This I recall to mind. I'm reminded. I then remember. I'm reminded of God's faithfulness in times past. Therefore have I hope. Because his compassions fail not. Great is thy faithfulness. At Big Sandy Convention in Texas last year, there was a young man called Gabriel Kluter. Good young fellow. He preached to a lot of young people, and I found myself just slipping in there listening to one of the sermons, even though I was preaching in the main meetings. And he made this profound statement, as I said there. Trust him, because he has proven himself to be trustworthy in the past. Therefore, trust him. Trust in his trustworthiness. It was enough for me. I left the meeting blessed. His goodness in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in troubles to sink. I've had those words in the front of my Bible and opened them over 50 years of living by faith. Over and over again, his goodness in time past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in troubles to sink. He cannot fail. For he is God. He cannot fail. Believe his word. He cannot fail. He'll answer you. He cannot fail. He's always true. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me. But beloved, our faith is at times tested. In the school of God, all of us, not only missionaries and preachers. We read in Psalm 105 verse 17 that Joseph was sold for a slave. until the time that his word came, God's promise to him came to pass. The word of the Lord tried him. The promise God gave him tried him. God's promises will not fail, but they test us in the school of God. Until the time that his word came, it has came to pass. The word of the Lord, the promise God had given him, tested him, tried him. A very wealthy woman in Africa, a very godly woman, who has been through the most incredible onslaughts. I often think of Job and think, wow, this is pretty close to Job. She has phoned over the years, and I've had to pray with her. Well, she said these words to me a few years ago. Brother Keith, we all have to live by faith, not only you preachers today. We are deeply conscious at the end of each month that if God doesn't help us, we are going to sink with all our businesses. Not that he doesn't help us month by month, Keith. The thing that isn't easy for me, though, she said, is why does God always have to leave it to the last minute before he helps and supplies our vital essential needs? I suppose he's testing my faith, brother. But oh, that has unnerved me, she said. Oh, she's terribly honest, by the way. That's unnerved me, Keith. Why does he leave it till the last moment? Brother, sister, you and I are in the school of God. If you don't know that, you're in trouble. I was once preaching with a young man called Andrew Murray. Now, it wasn't the old Andrew Murray, because I'm not 150 years old. Andrew Murray's great-grandson, also named Andrew Murray, one of the godliest men I've ever met in my life. I worked with him for a good time. The two of us, we went out together and preached so many places. But we were both young. We were in a place called King Williamstown, a German community. Everyone speaks German to this day. For a couple of hundred years, they'd never lost their identity as Germans. Well, we had 5 nights of meetings in one of the churches, the Lutheran church there. But we were given not one penny. Now we were young. Not one penny from anyone. Now we were in trouble because the last night ended. The next day we had to go far by car and our petrol tank was empty. Have you ever known you got to go far and it's empty?
Become a missionary.
It was fun. But anyway, we get in the car. We both a bit trembling, I must be honest. And as we're driving, Andrew said, Brother Keith, we're not going to make it home. I hope you know that. I just looked at him. He said, we're not going to make it to the top of this hill. Look at it, stone empty. If we get to the top of the hill, it's a miracle. And then we've got about 100 miles to go after that. What are we going to do? Well, we got to the top of the hill. We left the town. And as we got to the top of the hill, I thought, at least we can go down Corolla coasting. You know. So, as we're going over the hill, a man just happens to be at his gate of this big land he owns, overlooking all the black areas and the huts, and he has a storehouse there in his own home. Mr. Sparb, Joe Sparb, what a godly man. Nonetheless, he had been in some of the meetings. Now he just happens to be at the gate, so he looks at us. Oh, he says, stop, stop. So we stop. He says,
come in. Come drive with me. My home is just over the hill and our store there. And stay with us for a meal before you go home. So we did. What a meal. Anyway, he says, I have petrol. I sell petrol here. Can't I fill your tank with petrol? Isn't it wonderful? Do you think that just happens? Isn't there a God in heaven watching? Do you honestly think he mocks us and forsakes us? And then he gave us one of the largest donations I've ever received in my entire life from one single person. It was so much money that I actually wept. And we drove off, Andrew and I said, Andrew, if not one cent comes from the church after five nights, not one person, that doesn't mean God's forsaken us or failed us. He knows the tank's empty. He knows at the top of that hill he's going to make someone come to the gate, not knowing that we're driving past at that moment. It's going to fill our car with petrol and give us the largest donation up thus I've ever received in my life up to now. Andrew just had a little weep himself. And we praise the Lord as we draw. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and Archaris, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. It doesn't matter if these people didn't supply. It's God you're serving. It's God who is your provider. It's God that sent you. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 7. What was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Right up to this day, missionaries have to say that. I had to say that. But now we need to be very careful here. For there is a great danger that those who live by faith, who have cast themselves upon grace when they left all to follow him in obedience to his clear calling to preach, there will come times when we will face great and pressing needs. And we face them with genuine hope. For hope maketh not ashamed, the Bible says. Romans 5 verse 5. But hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Ooh. Hope that doesn't come to pass maketh the heart sick. Proverbs 13 verse 12. I would say continual hope deferred can make you dangerously depressed in God's service. I said, my hope is perished from the Lord. Lamentations 3 verse 18. These are fearful words to utter, beloved. My trust in God is destroyed. My hope is perished from the Lord. In our despair, as we face life's trials and storms, we are tempted to cry fearfully, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Mark 4 verse 38. But when God comes, and he will, beloved. For we read in verse 40, he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith, Keith?
Why are you so fearful, child? What a terrible rebuke to God.
Beloved, it is in such times as these that we need to be careful to look to the set workbook given to those in the school of God. The book of Job was not placed in the sacred book just for our interest, but to be prayerfully studied in order to be able to face the exams and to pass. Not fail those exams. Perhaps we may not lose all our children and our health as Job did,
But to learn to endure hardships, 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, and to know that such difficult and confusing times may come upon us. And like Job's, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job 1:22. Do you think that was written for interest? That's for you. That's what God expects of you when these things come on you. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13. I have to be honest. I've had to say that from my heart on a few occasions in 50 years. But I said it, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And oh, how he honored me for saying that. Harlan Popov wrote a book, Tortured for His Faith. There was Richard Wurmbrand, Tortured for Christ, and then there was Harlan Popov, who escaped the Yugoslavian prison after 27, 28 years of being tortured for his faith. He came to South Africa, as did Richard Wurmbrand, had great, great amounts of people thronging to hear, because we were a deeply religious country, to hear these people who had been imprisoned and tortured for their faith. Well, Harlan Popov came to our Bible school when I was a student. Our principal had great influence, and he got him to speak to us as students on one of our Friday morning devotions. Well, he looked at us, and he opened his sermon to us with these words: I believe that this mission, the AB, is a faith mission. You all have to learn to live by faith to survive. Well, I left Bible school as a young man to go to my first parish. My district superintendent of my denomination sent me off on a train. He paid for the fare one way, but he didn't give me a cent further. I arrived at the town. Not one person was there to meet me at the station. I eventually found people who actually gave me the key. So I went to the manse of the church, and I found there was no food, no bread, no milk, nothing. So I decided, well, I better visit all the list I was given of all the names of the congregation. Not one person gave me even a cup of tea. Nothing. So I thought, let me start again. Oh, I went around all through the lists. 3 weeks went by. I had not one bit of bread. No food. I would be beginning to tremble. And suddenly my district superintendent arrived, unexpectedly, to see how I was doing. So we sat down and I told him. And we both decided that Harlan Popov cannot live by faith. Wow. What a thing to say to students who have to go out and live by faith. Anyway, but he said, God began to work in people's lives. In that town and then across the country, he became one of the loved preachers of Yugoslavia, the most loved. He was the first imprisoned in the entire nation for his faith. As an example for people to not pursue Christianity publicly. In those prisons, he became the light of the nation for Christians to not give up their faith as they heard of his sufferings and the torture that was so cruelly inflicted upon him. Now, the hardships he faced from day one were God's training, immediate training, preparing him to survive, to triumph with suffering that he was soon to face for Christ's glory for the entire nation. Now, beloved, we must also learn whatever God puts us through, there's a reason, Keith, for you to one day not judge someone who's struggling, but care for them, pray for them, and encourage them to endure
hardships. 2 Timothy 2:3. Jeremiah 12, verse 5 asks, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied you, how can you contend with horses? If they have wearied thee, how wilt thou do with the swelling of Jordan? How can I take you into deeper waters, Harun and Papa, if I don't teach you to survive now and not give up? Jeremiah 12, verse 5. Endure hardships. The main thing is that we endure no matter what God makes us face in life. There's a reason. Every one of us. He hasn't forsaken us. I remember one of our greatest preachers and most loved preachers in Africa, Mr. Hannes de Beer, when I was testifying as a young fellow that I'd never faced a deficit. Since I became a missionary, every month God provided all my needs on paper. I didn't have to send back and say, no, I couldn't pay this, I couldn't do that. Well, he stood up and he said afterwards, well, Brother Keith, I am very blessed and grateful that you can testify that. I unfortunately have to testify differently. I never faced a month without a deficit. I always used to send my things, I couldn't pay this, I couldn't get a salary, couldn't pay this. But brother, God put food on my table. I never starved. I never was on the streets. And I learned something, brother. It doesn't matter about the paper or what people think of me. I had to say to God, great is thy faithfulness. That was quite a statement to make after what I said. Quite a statement for a man. Matt Olafia, one of the greatest soul winners in the history of South Africa. He has won so many souls that it's uncomprehendable that one human could do such a thing. He was a close friend of mine, and I used to run down the streets after souls with him. Someone once said to him, when he was facing great financial stress and difficulty, brother, there's a verse in the Bible you need to consider.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33.
Well, Matt said to me, I searched my heart, brother, trembling after what that man said. I searched everything, my heart, over and over. I found nothing. But there were two things, Keith, that I was positive of. I knew beyond doubt that I was saved, but secondly, I knew God had called me to preach in this mission. And I knew that I dare not leave my post, even if it seems I'm starving. I dare not leave God's calling until he tells me to. Even if I starve, Keith, I cannot leave God's service.
As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, Jeremiah said, as all the horrors of evil men and their persecutions against him. In Jeremiah 17, I have not desired or hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, God. He clave to the Lord and departed not from following him. 2 Kings 18, verse 6. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to know my love alone. Proverbs 30, verse 8, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. But if times be hard in the school of God, beloved, we must be careful to guard ourselves from hardening oneself against God. For who hath hardened himself against him and prospered? Job 9 verse 4 asks.
But let's return for a moment to this pivotal verse in all the scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We dare not overlook or forget that there are radical conditions attached to every promise God has given in this book. If it isn't in the verse, it's in the context.
Before he has any holy obligation to answer our prayers, there are conditions. And he cannot deny himself. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
You've got to look at every verse contextually for the condition
before you demand anything from God. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Psalm 84 verse 11. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Proverbs 13 verse 25. The eyes of the Lord open to the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord are against them that do. The conditions. The conditions are in every single promise he holds out. My good son Roy, that you've all heard, I do believe, he told me a while back of a shocking statement, a man who gave him some money here in America, I believe. And this man said to him, Roy, is there sin in your life? Are you living in sin, Roy? Roy was shaken. The man had just given him money. And then this man said, every person I've ever helped financially has been exposed in terrible wicked sin and brought great shame on God's name and hurt to my heart. But my boy, I'm trusting you, Roy, as I give this. And he walked away from Roy, but Roy stood there stunned. Stunned. Why in the school of God does he not give in abundance always? I believe our God answers that question with the same words he gave to his people who had at first cried, can God provide a table in the wilderness? Thou shalt remember all the way that the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to test thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and then he fed thee, that he may know, that he might that make thee to know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What does that mean? Well, beloved, you see, in times of need, we cleave to God, we cling to God with an open Bible. That's all we've got to communicate or to hear God's voice. We feed from this word to survive by faith. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word here to stay alive spiritually, to keep alive in our faith. In times of need, we cleave to God with an open Bible only, to hear his voice, to keep our faith alive, for faith cometh by the word of God, no other way. And we learn to cry, remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. God gives promise that causes us to hope. I remember an illustration. I heard a preacher preaching years ago of a young preacher. As a young preacher, of a father who used to give his son in abundance, but he saw so little of his son, so then he decided he would give him only his essential needs. his son was always there to seek his face. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7, therefore I take pleasure in not only reproaches, persecutions, but in necessities, Paul says. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Golda Meir, she took over the presidency from David Ben-Gurion after 2,000 years of a nation not having its own land, as was prophesied would happen to Israel until the times of the Gentiles have passed. 1948, the times of the Gentiles have passed. Don't doubt it. Luke 7, when Israel returns and God brings his people back, the times of the Gentiles, 2,000 years, David Ben-Gurion and the Jews, 6 million murdered, mass slaughtering to wipe and rid the world of them forever. But those that were still alive went back. Now we're going back. 1948, they stunned the whole world because they had nothing. And they conquered 300 million Arabs who were provided by Russia, etc., with the most sophisticated way. They won the war. They got their land back. They struggled. Kibbutz. To keep themselves alive, they had to be protected. So they had little fortresses in farm upon farm being guarded. To even farm, they eventually, David Ben-Gurion said, before he dies, he will go throughout the world to preach to the Jews, not to come back. You can't all come back, but I want you to send money for those who are there living in danger. We can plant trees. So send the best trees. Even if you send one tree, just pay for the best fruit. They planted trees because the Israeli scientists said the more trees, the more this barren desert, 90% of the land desert, destroyed. The more trees, well, they planted trees in the one river, Jordan. They channeled off to not waste a drop. That's why the Dead Sea went out. They didn't want to wait. Not 100%, 300% in a few years. Higher rainfall. Now I believe 700% more than was recorded. It worked. The Jews knew what they were doing. And then, while things were getting on their feet, the Arabian presidents, one of them said to Golda Meir, who took over presidency from David Ben-Gurion, a woman, a very courageous woman, Golda Meir, why is it that God gave us Arabs oil in abundance, that we have wealth and money flowing, and look at all we're building up of cities and nations. Why is it God gave you what? Milk and honey. So Golda Meir said these words. God wanted Israel to look to him to survive. You look to oil. God didn't do that for us. And we look to God to survive. That's a staggering statement from that woman. A staggering statement we all need to take note of. We're asking ourselves, why in the school of God does he withhold his provision at times from us? Deuteronomy 28 verse 20, 47 says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, with gladness of heart, do all things without murmuring or grumbling. Philippians 2 verse 40. Be careful for nothing,
but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. Philippians 4. Don't forget to say thank you for all you have, child, before you ask me for something else.
When they began to sing praises to God, he delivered them.
2 Corinthians 20, verse 22.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Hebrews 13, verse 15. Yes. Now, I'm coming quickly to an end here. Sorry, you're not guinea pigs. The Lord told me to preach this. I know that. So does someone, perhaps every one of you, need to hear this. If you don't think you need it, trust me, tomorrow you'll know why you heard it. Or you wouldn't be here. At this point of my sermon, we need to take a careful and prayerful look at the ravens. Those noble servants of God, who God commands to provide to those who serve the Lord across this world, on the front line of the battles. Whose service shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to me. I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Mark 9, verse 41. That's a staggering thing. Just a little bit of water, I will honor him. Isn't that lovely? A man, wonderful, godly man, who shook the world in Africa. Where it's South Africa. Dare not say his name. He has a business and he started with nothing but faith. Very little education, no money, but he started. And he built up an empire. And he stood with me one day, and he sat in the car beside me, taking me from the airport somewhere. And I said, brother, thank you for the kindness you've shown to me and my wife over the years. He looked at me and he said, but brother Keith, I have to thank you. You don't have to thank me. I said, what? You know that since I started giving to you and other missionaries across Africa, from that time God prospered me. And I became conscious it wasn't my hard work or my intelligence or my business sense. It was God. And he quoted this verse. If anyone just gives you a glass of water because you belong to me and serve me, he won't lose his reward. Now listen carefully to me. I have never ever stood up and preached asking for money, and I'm not doing that tonight. I have never dared to look to anyone in my life but God. And I won't start now. But I am preaching to you the truths of this book about missionaries, about those who serve God, and about those who give. Without asking you for 1 cent. But because these things are strewn through the Bible to listen to. For all of us, not just those in God's service. To know in the school of God how to survive. Can we stand, please? Now, good Timothy, you can't stand up or your child will scream. So you can pray loud. And then, good Brandon, immediately after Timothy, you will pray also. Just closing this message, this meeting in prayer. And if you do anything for this old man, know this. God never failed me. And he's never going to. And my preaching this sermon was not my saying, God failed me, please help me, in no ways. My preaching this sermon is saying to the world,
Great is my God's faithfulness. And I honored him in giving this sermon. No other reason. Can you pray for us, please? Can we bow in prayer, please?